We continue this evening our study in the Shorter Catechism, and we come to question number 94. What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. Baptism is a sacrament. We, of course, considered before that there are two sacraments in the New Testament, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we also considered what a sacrament is. A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed and applied to believers. There is a communication of grace, not mechanically, but rather received by faith alone, as Christ and the gospel of grace are displayed in the proclamation of Christ, just as in the preaching of the word, so in the demonstration and the participation of the sacrament. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water. Washing with water. It's not the water, and it's not the volume of the water that cleanses. Don't think that for a moment. There is no holy water, and there is not enough water in the oceans to cleanse from sin. The washing of water. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's referring there to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And they passed through the sea, and were told that was a baptism. They passed through the sea, but they were symbolically under the water. In fact, those who were immersed were the Egyptians that pursued them. Those immersed were not baptized, they were destroyed. And those who were baptized, the children of Israel, were not immersed. Now, I'm not saying that immersion is invalid. But it's important you understand that immersion is not proven in the scriptures and is not required in the scriptures. The washing with water is symbolic. A symbolic washing. You find that baptism is fulfilled in many ways at Pentecost. There was a baptism of the Spirit. There was a, we're told there, a pouring out of the Spirit and a tongue of fire upon the heads of the disciples. It says in the Confession of Faith, dipping of the person into the water is not necessary, but baptism is rightly administered by pouring or sprinkling water upon a person. Look at the scriptures. In the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrifice was applied by sprinkling. We sang of that in Psalm 51. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me. And it was with hyssop that the blood was to be sprinkled upon the posts of the door, the lintel of the door. And it was symbolic of a covering all who were within the house. The Day of Atonement, the blood of the sacrifice was to be sprinkled. It says in Exodus 24 about Moses as he instituted a covenant of Sinai, that he took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water. Why water? Why not blood? Well, the answer why it is water and not now blood is because the water represents the blood or the cleansing of the blood, but there is now no more sacrifice because Christ has died. And all those Old Testament sacrifices anticipated his death, but with his death having been accomplished, we're not anticipating it, but we're remembering it and the efficacy of it. That water depicts the cleansing of the blood. Revelation 1, verse 5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Hebrews chapter 10, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." What's that pure water? It's the outworking of the reality of faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name of God, the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost. The name means that by which these persons are revealed. The revelation of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the light of who each is. But also under the authority of the Lord who has instituted it. That's what we see in Matthew chapter 28. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." This is why we may and this is why we must, because he has instituted it and under his authority we baptize. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's in the name of God, it's in the light of who God is. In the name of God speaks about the authority that he has given. Don't do it in the name of the church. It's not personal authority of the pastor, but with the authority of God. And also into the faith and the service of this God, the Father, who has sent his Son as an outworking of his love. The Son, who is redeemed as an outworking of his love. The Spirit, who applies that redemption as an outworking of his love. This inter-Trinitarian love, the Father's love for the Son's love for the Father, and the Spirit's love. That love that they enjoy amongst themselves, but also that love for sinners. It is the Lord's sacrament. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ. Signify. It represents the cleansing that comes through his atonement. It seals, it's a mark to authenticate. Just as a wedding ring is exchanged to authenticate, to demonstrate what has been transacted. The wedding ring says, "I belong to one and I am not available to any other." It confirms the truth of the gospel, doesn't it? Baptism. The truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ in his grace embraces and receives sinners And therefore you are to be baptized in his name. We read in Romans chapter 11. Because there it describes the engrafting. It speaks there of the Gentiles being grafted in to the olive tree. Baptism is a sacrament, wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ. That engrafting means bringing together. It talks about union. And it's not an organic union, but it's one that comes about by grace. You have the same idea in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that's depicted by baptism. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ. Not merely association with him, but our union with Christ, who receives and embraces, who gives himself. It signifies our engrafting. It isn't the cause of our engrafting. Sometimes baptism is wrongly called christening. Christening is the idea of Christianizing. It makes you Christian. Baptism doesn't make you Christian. Baptism doesn't make you a part of the covenant community. Baptism is a sign and a seal for the baptism. For the covenant community. You're baptized because you belong. You don't belong because you're baptized. Mere baptism is not sufficient. You can go to the shop and buy a wedding ring. You can wear it on your finger. That doesn't make you married. But when you're married, you're given a ring. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ. It's not effected by baptism, but it's effected by grace. Doth signify and seal are engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace. We're baptized because we are engrafted into Christ, and we're baptized as a sign and a seal of the benefits of the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace. In the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant of grace was circumcision. It's the same covenant, covenant of grace. You find it there in Genesis chapter 3. And you find the covenant of grace worked out through the whole of the scriptures. Differently expressed in the Old Testament, different signs in the Old Testament. The fullest representation of it in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus Christ reveals that he is the one and lays down his life. What are the benefits of the covenant of grace? Admission into the visible church. Pardon of sin. Regeneration. Adoption. Resurrection. Glorification. Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace. That the Lord gives himself and with himself all that he has for us. If you have Christ, you have all. signifying seal or engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace, and our engagement to be the Lord's. Baptism speaks about what the Lord has done for you. Baptism speaks about what the Lord has for you. But baptism also speaks about what you are obliged to for the Lord. You are engaged to be His. He has set His sign upon you. He has embraced you in covenant grace. He has held out to you Himself and all the benefits of the gospel. He has shown His readiness to embrace and receive and to rejoice over you. And you have a corresponding responsibility. You have a debt of obedience to live for His glory, to live humbly and obediently before Him, to live by faith, to live for His service. If you walk away, if you refuse to close with Christ, if you resist and if you reject Him, you are not a stranger who has never known, but you, friends, are one who breaks covenant with the Lord. You are engaged to be His. There is an indelible spiritual mark put upon you, and you might not be able to see it when you look in the mirror, and others might not know it when they encounter you. But the washing with water in baptism has marked you out, and you stand before the Lord as one who has been marked, and you have a responsibility. You are engaged to be His. It is a lasting claim, and He will not renounce it. If you renounce it, it's a madness. If you renounce it, it is a provocation. There's an offence against His grace and against His mercy. But rather, friends, you're to reflect upon what has been done by the Lord in receiving you and setting that mark upon you. And you're to live for His glory. You see, His readiness to receive a sinner, that He is not ashamed of you. He's put His name upon you. He says, "This one is mine." And therefore, with new obedience and for the praise of His great name, commit yourself to honour Him. What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost does signify and seal our engrafting into Christ. Don't cut yourself out. Don't cut yourself off. You're engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. Baptism takes place once. Why? Why is there not a repeated baptism? Do you never find that you look back upon your Christian experience and maybe you've been far from the Lord and you're cold and you feel ashamed and you long that you may be able to come and reconsecrate yourself? And you say, "Lord, oh, that I could be baptized again." But the cleansing that is received, the atonement that is made, is once and for all. Our blessed Saviour said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." In 1 John is recorded, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Remember Peter and our Lord, as He came to the point of His betrayal and His atoning death, that he gathered with the disciples in that upper room and he girded himself about with a towel and he went to wash their feet. And Peter said, not my feet only, Lord, but wash all of me. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean in every whit. He's saying there that if you've been cleansed, you're clean. There may be a need for an ongoing cleansing, but it's like a man who's had a bath and needs to wash his feet, but really he's clean. Friends, you may think, oh, that I could be baptized again and again, but no, if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. Yes, there's a need for ongoing cleansing, for a daily cleansing, but not for a new baptism. Because you cannot be rebaptized. Because you cannot lose Christ. And so you cannot gain Christ again. You've been embraced, never cast off. You've been received, never rejected. Baptism is a sacrament, wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ, and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace, and our engagement to be the Lord's. Oh, there's undoubtedly a need to improve baptism by drawing near in faith and repentance, but not to redo baptism. Amen.